Thank you, Mr. Deputy Speaker. Earlier this year, CNA screened a documentary titled Inside Maximum Security. That documentary featured what inmates go through during their incarceration. The documentary generated substantial interest in prison operations and conditions. Since then, several members have filed questions on prison conditions and rehab. From time to time, we also hear questions on prison conditions in Singapore and whether the conditions ought to be changed. So, Mr. Deputy Speaker and members, I've decided that I will deal with many of those issues by way of a statement that deals with how our conditions are. I have, both in this House and outside, spoken about the purposes of imprisonment, the outcomes that we aim to achieve, the different types of sentences, and the factors taken into account during sentencing. For example, this year in March during COS debates and on various other occasions. So I don't intend to repeat those points, but I ask members to keep those points in mind because they are relevant in understanding our prison regime. Our prison regime and prison environment are austere and intentionally so. We place a lot of emphasis on security and monitoring so that our officers know what is going on. That is because you get situations where inmates might try to do a lot of harm to themselves, get contraband, create security situations, other similar issues. Our approach is probably one reason, for example, for lower suicide rates in the Singapore prisons. Between 2017 and 2021, there was one case of suicide in Singapore prisons compared with 10 cases in Hong Kong over the same period, 12 cases in Norway between 2017 and 2020, and 22 cases in Denmark between 2017 and 2020. We also focus on rehabilitation of our inmates. I've spoken extensively about this issue as well previously, including in March of this year during COS and in earlier years, and so I won't repeat those points, but as with the other points, the points I made need to be kept in mind as we talk about prison conditions. My focus today is on the actual conditions, and with your permission, sir, may I ask that some slides be shown on the LED screens. Let me start by showing some photos of our prison conditions. All prison cells have toilet facilities within. This is a cell that houses one inmate. Cell space is around 7 square meters. Members are welcome to visit the prisons for a shorter or longer duration. We can arrange. This cell houses up to 4 inmates. The cell space is around 10 square meters. And now you see the picture of cells that house up to 8 inmates, around 20 square meters. There are no fans inside the cells for inmates. Mounted fans could pose a security risk because they can be a potential anchor points for suicide. They could also be dismantled and the parts potentially used as weapons. Instead, there is a combination of natural and mechanical ventilation inside the cells. On bedding for inmates, you know, we provide straw mat with 2 blankets. Due to our hot and humid climate, mattresses for inmates are not ideal because of hygiene issues, generally. The current bedding also minimizes the security risks of inmates hiding contraband items in the cells. Generally, no direct staff supervision inside cells. However, beds are provided for inmates who require additional care, such as due to old age or mobility issues. So you see the photographs of correctional unit for assisted living. These beds are in medical wards as well as the correctional units catered for assisted living that you see in the photos. These correctional units for assisted living also have other features like seated toilets, handrails, grab bars, and anti-slip flooring. Next, on food and meals, Inmates are given 3 meals daily, planned based on dietitians' recommendations to meet nutritional requirements. As some would have seen from the CNA documentary, the breakfast is bread with spreads like butter, jam, and chocolate, and a hot beverage like coffee or tea. For lunch and dinner, it's a staple such as rice or noodles with some dishes. Fruits are provided daily. Special dietary requirements are considered. For example, inmates who are diabetic are given a low-sugar diet. Inmates who have gout are given a low-purine diet. And vegetarians can request for a non-meat diet. Each inmate is also given basic necessities for daily living: toothbrush, toothpaste, clothing, slippers, and towel, you see on the photograph. For recreation, inmates have access to electronic tablets in their cells daily. They have access to e-learning material, they read e-books, and they write and receive letters. Tablets are also used to broadcast essential news, information to keep inmates up to date on the latest COVID-19 measures, for example, both within the prison and in the community. On recreation, inmates typically have at least 1 hour of out-of-cell recreation on weekdays. They engage in sports and exercise, or read newspapers, play board games, or watch TV programs. The photographs of the common areas and recreational areas you see on the screen. These are conducted either in the recreational yard or day rooms. Staff strength is a consideration, as these activities are higher risk and require closer supervision by staff. Inmates who work or attend programs such as psychology-based correctional programs, family programs, religious programs, may spend 2 to 10 hours a day outside of their cells, depending on the program intensity. Now, some questions have been raised about prison conditions, and I'll now address them. Some members might remember the case of David James Roach, the perpetrator of the Standard Chartered Bank robbery in 2016. It was claimed then that Singapore's prison conditions would violate his human rights. He argued this in the UK when arguing against extradition. An expert witness for him said that the modesty wall in our prison walls divides the living space from the sanitary facilities. Eating in a cell with a modesty wall does not fully partition the living and sanitation spaces and is effectively eating in the toilet. And on the mirrored dome on the ceiling of the toilet, allows prison officers to check on inmates. He said the lack of privacy is not acceptable when inmates use the toilets. The UK courts found that while the conditions of our prisons were, in their words, not ideal, the defence counsel representing Roach failed to show that Roach was at real risk of a breach of his rights. Other points have been made elsewhere, that long periods of time inmates spend inside the cell, inmates sleeping on a straw mat, and overcrowding. Let me explain our rationale based on a few aspects of prison conditions and prison life. First, the prisons are not overcrowded, based on the specifications they were designed for. For background, I should say overcrowding in prisons is an issue in several countries. A 2021 UNODC report states that prison overcrowding, and I quote, prison overcrowding is widespread around the world, and of the 100 countries and territories for which UNODC had data on, nearly half, 47%, were operating at more than 100% of the intended capacity. We are at about 70%, based on our own standards and assessments. Now, I would be careful, and with this caveat, of comparing the percentages between countries, because whether that is overcrowding can be a matter of definition. It depends on what your baseline is, what your intended capacity of the prison is, and how it is designed. If the intended capacity of the prison is lower than another, then of course occupancy rates would be higher for the first prison compared with the second for the same number of inmates. But based on media reports, I think we can say conditions in many of these jails, for example, the US jails, are much worse than ours. And from what we have seen from photos and media reports, Scandinavian jails are generally much more luxurious. So if you look at a 2021 CBS News report, it describes how overcrowding has led to a deterioration of conditions at Rikers Island Prison in New York State. One New York State lawmaker is quoted as saying that one of the intake facilities was so overcrowded that prisoners were reported to be staying in rooms without bathrooms for a few hours and some for days. Another article describes the crowded conditions in New York City's jails as a ticking time bomb. And the head of the Prison Governors Association of the UK, in a report in 2020, said prisoners should be released to reduce overcrowding, to prevent disorder and slow the spread, for example, of the COVID virus. Now, we are not in that situation. In Singapore, the Changi prison complex was built in the early 2000s. Now, we know land is scarce. We're a country of about 733 square kilometers. Land area taken up by our prisons and DRCs is about 0.26 square kilometers. This is a footprint that we have, and we have to maximize the usage of the land. If we want to change it, a huge amount of money will have to be spent, probably running into billions of dollars, and with more land taken. Whether that should be done depends on our assessment of the current conditions. Our assessment is that conditions are acceptable and fits in with our philosophy of how prisons ought to be. Essential needs of our inmates are also met. Our medical services, now all inmates admitted to the prison are assessed on their state of physical and mental health. Inmates are able to report sick at any time should they feel unwell. They are accorded the necessary medical care by prison MOs, prison psychiatrists, and supporting medical personnel. Those who require specialist attention and medical care may be referred to government restructured hospitals. Preventive health measures, including vaccinations, are provided to eligible and willing inmates. For example, vaccinations against the flu, hepatitis B, and of course, COVID-19. 94% of medically eligible inmates have been vaccinated against COVID. Mr. Zulkarnain Abdul Rahim has asked about statistics of inmates diagnosed with mental health issues upon admission and the measures to address the needs of inmates who suffer from mental conditions and the support given to such inmates inside prison. Data on inmates diagnosed with mental health conditions upon admissions are not actively tracked. But I can say as of March of 2022, about 5% of inmates are on medication for the management of their mental health conditions. Most common conditions were adjustment disorders and mood disorders. Inmates with mild mental health issues are housed with the general inmate population, seen regularly by prison psychiatrists, and go through rehab programs. Those with severe mental health issues may be housed in a specialized facility managed by IMH or managed with IMH. That allows for more intensive intervention and therapy. Inmates who need active IMH follow-ups are referred to a psychiatrist. Inmates with mental health needs may also have other rehab issues, for example, violent behavior. There is an increased safety risk for staff and other inmates, and prisons deals with those. On feedback, the SPS, Singapore Prison Services, provides various avenues. To make inquiries and provide feedback, raise concerns. They can speak to their officers. They can raise their feedback through their family and friends. There are also independent bodies, like the Board of Visiting Judges, comprising prominent members of society. They inspect the prisons. They ensure that the basic well-being of inmates is taken care of, and they hear complaints from inmates. Mr. Murali Pillai asked whether our prison conditions are reflective of SPS's standing as a leading correctional agency. There are countries where prison conditions are less austere than ours. There are also countries with prison conditions are more austere, going down right to extreme overcrowding, as you would have seen from the articles I referred to earlier. I'll show you some photos of prisons in other countries. Denmark, Norway, Thailand, Hong Kong, the Philippines. I think it shows a broad variety. If you look at Norway and Denmark, if I didn't tell you that was a prison, you might be mistaken for thinking that's a condominium. Now, we do not take that approach, right? Our philosophy is to keep the regime strict. And in addition to looking at the physical conditions, and of course, I think many Singaporeans will say we cannot compare with Thailand and the Philippines, but I think Hong Kong is often seen as a fair comparison. But in addition to the actual physical conditions, I would say not enough attention is paid to the what I would call the software, you know, the recidivism rate, the effort put in into the inmates when they are in prison, the assault rates, whether discipline and inmate safety are maintained. These are all very relevant. And I would, as I said, call this the software. What do you do to help the inmates? How do you make sure they are safe? We do many things. I've referred to my earlier speeches. Our two-year recidivism rates have remained low and stable. The recidivism rate for the 2019 release cohort is now at 20%, which is the lowest in the last 30 years. We can do even better, because our five-year recidivism rate for the 2015 release cohort is at 41.7. And Prisons is working with the community to improve the five-year recidivism rates. But by comparison, many of the countries that you would think of, two-year recidivism rates are usually in the 40% range, even in places like New Zealand. And the five-year recidivism rates can be in the 60 to 70% range. Right? So we make a real difference to the lives of our inmates. If you look at the assault rate per 10,000 inmates, the assault rate is low. It's around 47 since the year 2019, compared to 47 per 10,000. It's very low. Comparison, 520 for Hong Kong, 270 for England and Wales, 214 for Australia, and 105 for South Korea. So these things do matter. You look at the total picture and you look at the effort put in. There is another aspect of our prison management that I would like to point out. In some countries, there is a hierarchy among the inmates. Some inmates are allowed to exercise control over other inmates. Gangs of inmates are also often allowed to exert their power inside the prisons. You often see media reports. You would have seen enough films about this. Prison gangs informally set the order. That includes controlling the underground trade in drugs and contraband, like cell phones, inside the prison. What happens is that in such prisons, those who are weaker will often be at the mercy of the stronger prisoners. Assault rates between inmates can be quite high. And inmates who go in first time could come out as even more hardened criminals, brutalized by their experience. And their lives are often set on a very sad trajectory from which it's very difficult to change. In Singapore, the position is quite different. Our prison officers run our prisons, not inmates, not gangs. The prisons are run in a fair and disciplined manner. We have a zero-tolerance stance towards gang-related activities. Assault rates between inmates are much lower. And the gang situation in our prisons is closely monitored. And prisons takes disciplinary actions against those found to be involved in such activities, including corporal punishment. Prisons can mete out. Now, don't take me to be saying that some bad things don't happen sometimes in our prisons. The point is we maintain more control and on the whole, less of these bad things happen compared with most other places. And we try and maintain safety, order and discipline in our prisons. We want our inmates to be focused on rehab and turning their lives around without having to live in constant fear for their personal safety. Let me now move to our rehab and reintegration approach. Members will know how extensive our rehab efforts are. I made several speeches on this, so I won't go into detail. Instead, I'll distribute a document setting out the points in brief form. Mr. Deputy Speaker, with your permission, may I ask the clerk to distribute an annex on the rehab approach of prisons. Members may also access this annex through the SGPAL MP mobile app.
Please do.
The rehab approach by prisons is based on the concept of through care. So address the rehab needs of inmates in prison and facilitate reintegration upon release. Dr. Tan Wu Meng and Mr. Zulkarnain Abdul Rahim had asked about the challenges faced and support for inmates with mental health and medical issues. These inmates may face challenges in accessing continual treatment after release, they said. Now, prior to release, inmates with mental and medical conditions may be referred to IMH or the restructured hospitals for follow-up care. Dr. Tan Wu Meng had asked about the handover of medical care for ex-offenders during this year's COS debates. Ex-offenders who need further follow-up after release are referred to Changi General Hospital's specialist clinics for continuity of care. Prisons is working with SingHealth to facilitate follow-up appointments for ex-offenders at other public healthcare institutions, which are nearer to their home. Mr. Deputy Speaker, in conclusion, I have set out in some detail the approach we take in our prison regime and the reasons for our approach. I have also set out our approach towards rehabilitation. Thank you, sir.